Well, we're going to take a little break from our sermon series in the book of 2 Corinthians, and, you know, it's Mother's Day, so we'll talk about moms today, just because. So, anyway, whether or not you are a mother, yeah, you had a mother, you know, and whether or not you're a mother now, you might be doing some mothering, even if it's not your own child. So, you know, mothering is something that kind of goes on forever because, you know, that's the way moms are. So let's focus on mothers and wives and women today. And we're going to turn over to the book of Proverbs and read from Proverbs chapter 31 and verses 10 through 31. And again, before you read this, I used to think Proverbs was a disjointed book full of random thoughts with this sort of thing tacked at the end. But I don't think that anymore. This is what I believe about Proverbs. I believe that King Solomon is writing this passage and wrote the entire book and collected it all together, even though there are different sayings. And he's writing it with his son in mind. And you can go back to Proverbs 1 and verse 8 for that. And with the idea of giving him a set of guidelines for living a good godly life, either choosing the path of God or the path of sin and wickedness. And when you get to the end, he's talking about, hey, this is how you find a good godly wife as long as you're living this good godly path, you see. And that's again because all throughout Proverbs, Solomon has been encouraging his son to make wise, godly decisions, not foolish, evil ones. And so now with all that in mind, let's read the end of it all. Let's see what Solomon encourages his son to do. He says, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Now again, everything in Proverbs 31 is there to give Solomon's son a sort of checklist about what a good wife would be like, a good godly wife. And for us today, this woman here is a marvelous model for us today. You know, she's a good godly wife. She's a good godly woman. And today we would say if a woman followed this, she would be a good Christian woman, you know, assuming she's baptized into Christ. But this passage, you know, when you look at it, if I was a woman and I was trying to compare myself to this, I'd feel a little bit of stress and guilt maybe, you know. It's like, this is, you know, a high standard to live up to. So in one way, it is idealistic, we have to remember. Proverbs is full of a lot of that. You know, the ideal, okay? So that doesn't mean that, you know, you have to tick off all these little check boxes, you know? So still, though, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't strive for doing your best, okay? But this is the perfect woman, as Solomon puts it. But then again, we all are to strive to be like the perfect man, Jesus Christ. Even though we know that we can never reach such a level of perfection like Jesus, it's something that we know we're supposed to try and to strive for. And so, you know, we should take that in mind and take a look at the good, godly models that are given to us in the scriptures and try to emulate that. And so with that in mind, what we're going to do today is just try to encourage all of our ladies, and of course, us who are not ladies, to think about the women in our lives and the mothers in our lives and those people who are mothering in our lives and be a blessing to them. So the first thing that we see in Proverbs chapter 31 is that a good godly woman is valuable. She is valuable. Now, I'm not sure that every mother always feels valued, you know, and treasured by society, even by their husbands or their children. That could be sometimes a struggle. Yet God's word seems to hold a mother in very high esteem, you know, because it's really such a critical responsibility. For example, a young mother once wrote about the challenges that she faces day to day in raising her children. And she said, you know, one of the hardest things about being a full-time mom is feeling fulfilled in my work. She writes she has a 5-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 5-month-old. She says in a job outside of the home, you know, you get raises and you get a paycheck and you get compliments, promotions, and adult conversation. At the end of the day, she says all she gets is a dirty diaper. Now, this mom wasn't bitter. You know, she was just being honest because, like any mom's going to tell you, the work of motherhood often seems endless. And in a certain degree, it is, especially when moms end up marrying husbands that need mothering too. But anyway, this mom refused to throw in the proverbial towel or diapers, maybe, because she realized that if God has blessed you with children, then you are fortunate and honored. Because we know that God tells us that children are a blessing from God. Psalm 127, verse 3. And that's all I'm going to say about Roe versus Wade.
Wait a second. Check.
Okay, there we go. So pouring your life into your children, whether biological or not, is a worthy calling. Now, even though our model mom here in Proverbs 31 was a working mom, and might have well even worked outside of her home and inside, she seems like a very busy lady. You know, her value doesn't come from the cash she has, from the income that she gets. It came from the fact that mothering was more important to her than any amount of money or material possessions. You know, many single moms would give anything in the world to be able to stay at home with their kids, but it's just not economically possible for many of them. But when a mom is able to make the decision to dedicate her life to the home front, we ought to celebrate that. We ought to lift her up as a champion of family values. Either way, moms who take good care of their families, whether they work outside the home or not, ought to be celebrated for the nurturing environment that they provide. Again, the magnificent mom of Proverbs 31 is valuable. We also see that she's diligent. Again, in Proverbs 31, we see that Solomon gives us three expressions of her diligence. The first is found in verses 13 through 15, where again, we're told that she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. Now, for anyone, it would be a tremendous task to take on all of that work. Still, Solomon says she provides food for her family. You know, every now and then, I think it's important for husbands to say those three magic words to their wife. Let's eat out. And when that is impossible, we should always be thankful as husbands or children for any prepared meal set before us. Solomon also tells us that she has a good sense of financial responsibility. There again in verse 16, we're told that she considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a field. And so God has blessed this woman with good business sense, you know, allowing her opportunities in various situations. That said, not every woman is going to have enough money to buy property or to plant crops. Still, the important principle here is that she was a good steward of what she had and was wise about how to invest what God had blessed her with. Down in verses 17 through 19, we're told that she's a vigorous worker. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. And then down in verse 27, Solomon says that she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. You know, this is one woman who is not sitting on her couch binge-watching Netflix or eating chocolate all day, tweeting nonsense on Twitter or posting faces, little ducky faces or cute poses on Instagram. This is a hard-working lady, you know, and her vigorous work is a testimony to her diligence. Simply put, mothers do many unseen tasks, some much, much more than others, of course, that are often taken for granted. And so we need to be giving thanks to the women in our lives, right? Again, the marvelous mom of Proverbs 31 is diligent and valuable. We also see that she is compassionate. Again, there in verse 20, we're told that she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hand to the needy. I think, wow, what a wonderful woman this is. Not only is this woman taking care of things in her own home, but she's also helping to take care of others. And a mom who does that today is taking, you know, really the time to be on the lookout for teachable moments for her own family and for those around her in order to model and encourage compassion for her children. Again, the masterful mom of Proverbs 31 is compassionate and diligent and valuable. She's also respected. Down there in verse 25, Solomon says this about this wonderful woman. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. I think this verse is great for a couple of reasons. There's a lot I could probably do with this and, you know, we could look at, but I just like the fact that it says she can laugh at the days to come. Now, obviously, that means she has security and she's not concerned about the future, but I like the word laugh there, implying a soft side of this very strong woman. You know, think about it. To be a godly mother or a godly grandmother or great-grandmother, as it may be, or aunt or whatever, doesn't mean that you need to be a stuffed shirt and be all rigid and you know, scary. I had a grandmother that I was kind of scared of when I was little. But anyway, still, she can carry herself with a modesty about her and a confidence and a quiet dignity. At the same time, never lose the ability to laugh at herself and be genuine and real, you know. Solomon also notes for us here that the respect that this woman earns is also the result of the words that she speaks. Down in verse 26, we're told that she shares words of wisdom. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. So when she opens her mouth, I mean, there's just encouragement there and good advice, you know, and just things. It's kind of like, again, thinking about the grandmother I wasn't afraid of. She was the one that always had nice things to say, you know, or good things, you know. Anyway, but hey, you know, I had let's see, a great-grandmother and two grandmothers. Everyone has different people in their lives. And I was only really scared of one. That's another story. You know, have you ever been out, though, let's say at a grocery store or at a restaurant or some other public place, and I don't know, maybe someone just had a really bad day and the kids have really gone beyond insane. And then all of a sudden you hear some brutal comments from a mom about their children, you know, and that's rough, you know, because children, again, look up to their moms. And so the words of a mother can either encourage or they can discourage. They can build up or they can destroy. And that's why moms always need to choose their words carefully when speaking to their children. Back over in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18, in general, Solomon tells us that reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Now, over the years, you know, our moms have made us do all kinds of things that we didn't like to do, everything from brushing our teeth to taking out the trash to cleaning our rooms and doing homework, and even going to church, you know? And, of course, now that we're older, we can look back with a bright smile, a healthy lifestyle, a good work ethic, and prayerfully, a life in Christ because of our moms. So again, the mom of Proverbs 31 is respected. Solomon also tells us that she's appreciated. I tried to see if this was still true, but it looks like Survivor has got to be one of the longest running, if not the longest running reality TV show. It's still on. I don't understand. I've never watched it. I checked and there is still a version on, and I don't know. Anyway, so someone came up with a hypothetical Survivor show for the next season. It involves taking six men who are dropped off on an island with one SUV, four kids over a course of 6 weeks. And each kid plays two sports, takes music or dance lessons. There's no access to fast food, and each man must take care of his four kids, keep them alive. Keep his assigned house clean, cook, correct all the homework, complete science projects, cook and do laundry. On top of that, these men have no access to television and or the internet, and it's only available when the kids are asleep and all chores are done. On top of that, there is only one TV and one computer between them all and no remote control. On top of that, they need to get those kids to eat green beans, be able to shave their legs and wear makeup on a daily basis. And they'll be judged how well they can make an Indian model with toothpicks, a tortilla, and one magic marker. And the winner, they get voted off to island and get their own job back. Probably be a good show. I think I'd watch that one. Anyway, we tend not to notice all that moms juggle and accomplish until one day when something goes wrong, maybe a shirt doesn't get ironed or lunch doesn't get sent off to school or something, and complaints start coming in. But the truth is, moms do a lot to keep the family functioning and on level ground. So Solomon says that mothers are to be appreciated. Back in verse 28, he tells her that her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Now notice, if you will, that her children arise and call her blessed. In other words, they get up out of bed and they say, "Good morning, mother. Thank you for everything you're doing." I don't know if they have a slightly high-pitched British accent, but, you know. I suppose, you know, one of the ways that maybe children can bless their mother is to maybe rise up off the couch and go bless her in the kitchen, or rise up out of bed and make their own bed, you know, or rise up off their feet and take care of some chores. Again, not only do her children bless her, but we're told that her husband also appreciates her. There in verse 29, we see that he says, "Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all." In other words, in the words of Ralph Cramden, if y'all remember Ralph Cramden, "Honey, you're the greatest." Or was it "Baby"? "Baby, you're the greatest." I can't do my Ralph Cramden. Anyway, and if you don't know who that is, that's fine. If you know who it is, you're too old. Okay, anyway. But maybe today it might be "You go, girl," or "Great job," or, you know, "Awesome work, honey," or something to that effect. Again, the mom of Proverbs 31 is appreciated. And lastly, we're told that this wonderful, godly, marvelous, magnificent mother is redundantly godly because she's godly. Again, taking a look at the last three verses, starting in verse 29, we're going to go all the way down through 31 this time and read it all together. This husband's praise, where he says, "Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. And then Solomon notes for us that charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Now, he said a lot of things there, right? He said that she could be the prettiest thing in the world, but if she doesn't have the Lord, then those looks are only going to go so far. Think about it. The godly woman manages to keep her life and all those schedules in the proper perspective. That way she can do all that she needs to do and all she has to do, you know, to be valuable and diligent and compassionate, respected and appreciated. And while she could do all that, you know, if the Lord isn't a part of her life, then in the end, it's all for vain. But with the Lord at the center of it all, then it's all worth it, right? It all has meaning. And her beauty, even on a bad hair day, is still going to shine from within because of Jesus. Peter says it this way, and we're going to be touching on this passage this upcoming Wednesday in our class in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 3 and 4 says, "Your beauty should not come from outward adornments such as braided hair and the wearing of gold, jewelry, and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight." Now again, that doesn't mean that you can't wear jewelry or braid your hair. It only means that your beauty shouldn't be just skin deep. That's not what defines your beauty, you know. Your real beauty should shine from within you, from the inside you, and not be limited to the outside you. The inside you needs to be the good, godly woman that shines through. Well, in closing, I believe I've shared this little story before. It's about a vacation Bible school. You know how we often have a closing sort of thing, and in the past, we've done closing programs. Well, so this little church was doing a closing program for the vacation Bible school, and the children, you know, were all lined up in the front and showing their parents what they had learned all throughout the week, and everything was going really well until this one little girl came up, and it was her turn to recite a scripture that she had supposedly memorized. But of course, when she got in front of the crowd, she just froze. She got stage fright, you know. She completely forgot her verse, and she couldn't utter a single word. Well, she looked over, and she saw her mom sitting there toward the front row, and she was looking at her mom for some help. And so the mother whispered, "I am the light of the world." The little girl's face lit up, and with confidence, she boldly proclaimed, "My mother is the light of the world." And, you know, everyone had a little laugh at that. Yet, there is an important truth reflected there for that child. A mother is the light of her child's world. So moms and those who mother, you know, we need to remember that. That you are the light of your children's world. So you need to be careful to let your light shine, you know, so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Again, happy Mother's Day. Woohoo! You know? And if you haven't put on Christ in baptism yet, as always, we encourage those who haven't to become Christians by confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and then enter into his covenant promise by being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. And then rising up out of the water, you're born again as a Christian to live your life for him until Jesus comes back again where you go to be with him. So as always, the invitation is extended for those who will come. And so you're invited to come forward as together we stand and sing the song that was selected.